welcome to another episode of Nerdificent. I am one half of your host, Danny Fernandez, and sitting across from me...
Iffy Wadi Way, how's it going?
Iffy Wadi Way, and you can't see, but he's in Majin Buu.
Oh,
pink.
Yeah, these are some shorts I picked up while I was in New York at the Billionaire Boys Club. It's the ice cream shorts, and I was like, oh, yeah, I like it.
Yeah. And today we're joined by one of our dear friends. We've known him because Iffy and I were hosts at Hyper RPG, where we met Matt, who's also a host there. He's a host and producer. It's Matt Acevedo. Hey.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for having me. And I got to say, I love the Majin Buu. It looks real good. You look really good, Iffy.
Yeah, what am I? I don't even know what you would call this, but I am color coordinated. Yeah. I'm in magenta.
Nice. And yeah, and I'm in a Pokemon.
You're in a Pokemon. Uh-huh. Yeah.
A Uniqlo Pokemon shirt, so.
Yeah, so we normally start our podcast with what we're geeking out about, but since we're covering Pokemon, and it's such a huge topic, I thought we would dive right into it, but I do know that when we asked for Pokemon, people, like so many people tagged you, and it made sense. I think you were supposed to come on our Nintendo episode, but you couldn't, because you're also a big Nintendo head.
Yeah, Nintendo is like my forte. It's literally the thing I'm most passionate about of anything. I don't know if I'd ever want to work for Nintendo because I love it so much.
That's hilarious.
We've done hosting for them. I've hosted for them, and like that's like about the extent of it.
Oh yeah, you have.
Know? Yeah, that was really fun. But what I love about this is that company is that they just focus. It's just so positive. I feel like all their content and all their game is all about bringing people together, and I just really latch onto that.
Yeah. So is that something? I mean, I assume that's how you got introduced to Pokemon was from mm-hmm. the games.
Yeah. It was the games, and I was real young, man. I was in I think first grade when the game came out, Pokemon Red. And I got it for Christmas along with the Game Boy Color,
mm-hmm.
and that was before the show. I think the show came after, but the game is what got me hooked on it. And I just remember like that's the feeling of opening it up on Christmas morning and, you know, putting it in, hear the ding, you know, and just the dun, like the dun, 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 and just the sense of adventure that was happening. And from the moment Professor Oak asked me like what my name was, I was like, this is it.
This is it. That was the name part is what hooked you.
Are you a boy or a girl? It's like, oh, customization. Whoa. Yeah.
I think our friend Kyle Bear is the voice of Professor Oak.
No way.
Oh, you would know because he's the voice of adult Gohan.
That's right. Yeah. I didn't know he does Professor Oak too.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a great voice.
He does. Yeah.
He's done so many.
Yeah. The world of Pokemon.
I know.
Oh, that's totally him.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was wild because Pokemon was like kind of, at least for our generation, this like smash hit. And it was like everyone was Poke crazy. You know, we ended up leading up to having a movie and it just kind of took over everywhere.
Yeah.
And it was a thing that we thought would eventually grow away with the 90s, and it stood. The anime kept running. They kept coming out with new versions after. And it seems like there's a whole new generation of Poke fans.
Yeah. I feel like what they've been doing has been so great because, you know, they have the games, you have the excitement from the games, and the show comes out, and it's like, oh, are we done with the game? Oh, here's a new game. Like, I feel like their pacing with releasing content is just so dang good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, Digimon kind of came out around, like, a little bit after, but kind of around the same time, and it just hasn't, it definitely still has its fans, and it still has, you know, things that are coming out. I know Digimon Adventure it hasn't latched on the same way, or hasn't it blown up the same way that Pokemon has.
Yeah, I think, I love Digimon. I think what happened was to, American audiences, at least, because it came out around the same time Pokemon came out and it has a similar name, it kind of like became, oh, it's just a copycat of this. But Digimon is like a completely different thing, which is like, you know, I don't think it latched on because I don't think the games are nearly as good as Pokemon.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
They're more traditional JRPG style kind of games.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Pokemon's a little more user friendly, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, also, you know, I feel like I've said this before, the Digimon anime is way more solid than the Pokemon anime. Like the Pokemon anime, you know, there are some stands for it, but I feel like, you know, Digimon had to beat every time. The design was cooler, but Thus, alas, Pokemon is the one that...
I mean, it's got one of the best dub theme songs ever made. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. I can't... I will say that because, you know, it was just Digimon, digital monsters, Digimon are the champions.
Digital monsters, and then we have pocket monsters.
Yes. Yeah.
So let's just hop into the history of Pokemon. So it was created by Satoshi Tajiri, and he actually, when he was growing up, he had a fondness of catching insects and tadpoles. Near his home in suburban Tokyo. So he essentially wanted to make a game. He actually had a magazine. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this. He actually had a magazine that he made. It was a gaming one called Game Freak that he did with the help of Ken Sugimori. Mm-hmm. So they did that. And then when Tajiri discovered the Game Boy, then he had this idea to move essentially. He actually was inspired by Ultraman and Ultra 7, which is a fantasy television show in which the protagonists use giant monsters contained with small capsules. That sounds familiar.
Yep.
And so when he made this new game, when they made the new game, they called it Capsule Monsters. But then due to trademarking issues, they ended up changing it to Pocket Monsters, or as we know now, Pokemon.
Yeah. Which is so awesome. I love that. Even represented in the games, you kind of see, like, not only is, you know, the element of catching, but also, like, you know, he liked to catch bugs. And, like, in all of the Pokemon games, or the trainers, like, I'm bug catcher. And
oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, I'm fisherman.
Definitely shouting out those bug catchers throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, don't sleep on the bug catchers, man.
I know. They keep popping off.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were talking about you popping in the first one. And as you know, the franchise began as Pokemon Red and Green, mm-hmm. which was in Japan. But mm-hmm. we knew it as Pokemon Red and Blue.
That's right.
And it was a pair of video games for the original Game Boy that were developed by Game Freak and published to Nintendo in February, which was my birthday, which is probably why I was able to get it in 1996, making that 8 years. After me and Danny
this earth. Well, yeah, the game came out in Japan and then was so popular they were able to have it come out in...
Right.
And that was so interesting, too, because it was two separate games but the same game, which, I mean, now Fire Emblem's kind of doing that with the houses, but they had Fates and Birthright, the one before that. And that is like a different energy to kind of capitalize on a craze, because not only do you customize your character in the game, the names of your Pokemon, but also you can have a choice of which version you want to have, and the Pokemon you're able to catch changes between that.
And yeah, and there are, you know, as you said, there are exclusives to each game, and back then it was like a way bigger deal, because if you want to catch them all, you either needed the link cable, which I feel no one had, or you needed to just get both copies of the game.
Yeah, you needed a friend with rich parents who bought them every accessory for their Game Boy, like even that weird reading light that would plug into
the
side.
I had
the
reading light, man.
Okay, so you were the rich kid.
I guess so.
Yeah. Heard it here first.
Yeah, man. Like, I don't know. It was just like, and now it's just easier with online and everything. It's just so much. I don't feel like you need to get the other ones. I think if you're talking about Fire Emblem, like at least with each house, it's like different stories a little bit. Like you're getting different sides of it. But at least like nowadays, if you do Pokemon, you can just trade. Like I could just trade with Iffy. It's like, oh, like you have an exclusive Mankey on your. I need a Mankey, so I'll go to you and we'll trade. So
yeah.
Can you walk people through what those first games were like?
Oh man, so the first games, it's what it was like the overall experience.
Yeah, or like, you know, playing them on the Game Boy. What essentially was your goal and the characters that you ran into?
I'm gonna transform myself. I'm gonna go back into the shoes of 7-year-old Matt and my experiencing it. It was the first time for me that I was the one. It was like my journey. It was like Matt is in this game. I named him Matt. And, you know, I was going on this journey and I got to go and, you know, make new friends and allies and rivals. And it was just this discovery and growing, not only with myself, but with my Pokemon who became my friends, who I had named after my friends back in, you know, first grade. I would name them like, oh, this one's Patrick and this one's like, you know, Steven or whatever. But it was like my party of friends that we grew together. But at the same, we're not only are we like just trying to be the best, we're also like uncovering like a mafia plot going on and like thwarting like bad guys at the same time. Because, you know, in the first game, there's Team Rocket, and Team Rocket is doing this whole thing where they're trying to, you know, replicate Mew, which is the first ancient Pokemon. And so they created Mewtwo and they did a bunch of shady stuff. And then, like, you're just this 10-year-old kid going around busting their chops. And that was like real, real cool. So I don't know, man. I just get so happy thinking about it.
I know. It's what's cool, too, is you know it's a solid formula because it's kind of repeated in every game. And there's mm-hmm. minor tweaks here and there, but you know you have your hero character, which is you. You have the professor. You always have a what are they called at the Pokemon Center? Is it Nurse Jenny?
Oh, Nurse Joy's mm-hmm. and Joy's. Officer Jenny's.
Yeah, Nurse Joy's, Officer Jenny's. You have your gym leaders. And you have the Elite Four, and you have your Team Rocket, or it's changed over the years, but your antagonist gang. And then, of course, your rival. And now they've kind of added a buddy to take that, like, last Pokemon.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, the buddy's, he's cute. The buddy's usually cute, but I'm like, all right, get out of here, kid.
Yeah, I don't need a buddy.
Like, let me get my rival
let me beat him up real quick.
Show him who's boss.
Yeah.
But, you know, even though in that first game, because, like, I wasn't aware. Like, I think the main weaknesses made sense. Like, fire beats, you know, grass beats, you know, water beats fire. But, yeah. Like, outside of that, it was a lot of discovering of, like, oh, my gosh, like, what defeats rock and what defeats psychic, you know? And it was just this, like...
Water. Fighting.
Yeah. So, like, that especially that first time through, it was just, like, really just figuring it out, you know?
I know. But it is funny, the types and the weaknesses, because it all I feel like it was pretty, like, I can see why water would beat rock. I can see why fighting might defeat psychic. But now we got fairy.
Right. Fairy is good against dragons.
Yeah. Yeah, because dragons were OP for a long time.
They were very OP.
They were only weak mm-hmm. to dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and Lance was the guy, you know? Lance was super cool, man. I loved Lance. He was the Dragon Elite Four
leader. Yeah, I know who Lance was, but it was just funny. He seemed like he's so cool. And I wanted to punch his face in. I was like, you keep beating me, and I'm going to end you.
Yeah. You know, going back and talking about, like, our first time through, I'm remembering, like, now it's just kind of in the subconscious that I know all these Pokemon because they bring them back, you know?
Right.
But that first time, I every single time you see a new Pokemon, you'd be like, oh my gosh, what is this thing? You know, I used a Master Ball the first time on a Ditto because in the show it was like, oh wow, Ditto can transform into anything. And I was like, I have to catch that Ditto.
Yeah.
And I was just so excited the first time I saw it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so rare. Like, I'll never see this Ditto again. So I didn't even try to weaken. I just threw my Master Ball I got at Silphco and on this Ditto. And I had when I got to Mewtwo, I was just using like Ultra Balls.
Yeah. Oh man.
I did it backwards, man.
Yeah. But you still caught Mewtwo. So
there you go.
Yeah.
So this year, so 1996 that the games came out, also saw the release of the trading card game, which mm-hmm. was huge. By the way, it had 102 cards and was super popular. I was like the person that had all of my cards in the little card holder. And then I would just like take them to school and I just like looking. I just thought they were so pretty. I did that with like all of my anime trading cards.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to give them up.
I'm totally with you on that though.
I didn't want anything to happen to them.
Same. And for me, you know what's weird? Me and my cousins, we didn't play the card game until later. We just collected the cards. It was just weird.
Yeah,
kids should not be doing that. Yeah. It was that game. I had a set of Pikachu. It was this Pikachu toy. I think it was like the Hear No Evil, See No Evil or something. I don't know. It was something like that. And I literally did not take it out of the box.
Yeah.
I did not. I was that kid. And I just left. I thought my Pikachu was so pretty and I didn't want anything to happen to it, and I just left it in there.
So in the starter set where it has the window so you can see the card in there. Yeah, see, I never had that. My parents would never invest that much money into a thing I liked, so I always bought boosters. And if you aren't aware, boosters don't come with energy cards. They just have other Pokemon cards. So what that means is I had a whole bunch of Pokemon, but no way to play them. So I never was able to play the game. Meanwhile, my best friend Weldon, his parents were taking him to Walden's Book to compete in the Pokemon leagues.
Wow.
Because they had the local Pokemon leagues where you would play against people, and then when you would win, you'd get a badge, a physical badge.
What? You actually got badges?
Yes.
That's like a dream come true, man.
Yeah,
that's
sick. You missed out on it.
We missed out.
But they still have them that you could go to.
I mean, the league is still going strong. They go live on Twitch quite often for the championships. But that, you know, we'll get to this later, but even like watching like pro Pokemon fights, like it really seems like the strat is to one shot every poke. So like it's never that exciting to watch because it's like, all right, this guy has the thing to one shot.
Oh yeah. That's true.
I never got into the competitive aspect of the game like that because of that. I'm like, well, we're just going to keep, you know, trading in, like, you know, returning Pokemon and sending out the ones that's going to match that type, you know, but it's kind of like a gamble. It's like, oh, I hope he throws out this.
Or, yeah.
But there are crazy combos that you can't do. Like there's moves that like can you can like. I forgot the name of this move, but it would like return the other person's Pokemon to their Pokeball, and they have to throw in the next one of their party. Mm-hmm. And there's like, you know, there's combos you can do and stuff. But I never got that deep into that because it was mostly just for me, you know?
Yeah. Same here.
Yeah.
Y'all, 1996 was a huge year because after, so they have the game release, they have the trading card release, then they have the manga release November 1996. And then finally, this is when I really got into it. Finally, the following year, April 1st, 1997, is when the anime series premiered. We had Pokemon trainer Satoshi, who was later dubbed, as we know, as Ash Ketchum, who's named after Satoshi the creator, based on Red. And another character introduced in the first episode was his rival, who was later Gary Oak, based on Blue.
Gary. That guy. Oak.
So, yeah, the anime is, I mean... I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test, to train them is my call. So yeah, that's so iconic. Gotta catch them all.
Yeah. My go-to karaoke song.
We were able to play.
You teach me.
Look, we might not have gotten to that part, Danny. We don't know how much we could legally play. Because it could have been...
Gotta catch them all.
For all we know, it could have been just been... Ding, 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 and it's back to us. If you go and play the first 10 seconds.
Okay, so talk us through some of the main characters here. Team Rocket, so you touched on them, but we didn't really talk about, you know, who they are.
Yeah, so Team Rocket is this corporation that basically they're trying to take capture strong Pokemon for their own purposes. And the ones that we see primarily, it's ran by the 8th gym leader, spoiler, which is Giovanni. And he uses normal type Pokemon to fight. But Giovanni's like a mob guy, and the people that we see all the time are two people. One named Jesse and one named James in the American version, because they're thieves and, you know, like Jesse James, and they have their Meowth that talks. It's a talking Meowth.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. And they're just trying, they see this Pikachu, and Ash's Pikachu is pretty special. It's kind of, I like to think of it as like a shiny Pikachu because it is very powerful, and they're always trying to capture this Pikachu for the boss because Jesse and James they're like meant to be like one of the top grunts, but like they kept getting thwarted by like Ash, and now they're kind of like fools because of it, and I think there's like a vendetta because of that.
Oh yeah.
That's why they want to catch this Pikachu to like, you know, get their,
to get it. Yeah, that's always been funny because like Pikachu is such a whatever Pokemon.
Yeah,
you know? But you know, it's cute, it's yellow, it's a mascot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But one of the mottos of Team Rocket that you can see on the walls of one of their facility in the game is steal Pokemon for profit, exploit Pokemon for profit. All Pokemon exist for the glory of Team Rocket.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's so funny that they would just put that. Yeah, yeah.
We're bad. Baddie bad boys.
In case you were wondering who stole it, we did.
It was me, Team Rocket.
Yeah.
It feels weird to like being like explain Pikachu, who's like the you know the most famous ever. Mm-hmm. But let's dive into some of the Pokemon. So Pikachu, arguably one of the most famous, the mascot, iconic Pokemon. We had, I can say that officially because we have Detective Pikachu. So yeah, he's the his name was on it. So he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
The goat.
I mean, they created a whole version for Pikachu because there was Red, Blue, and then we had Yellow, which copied the anime, and you were able to walk around with Pikachu at your side. Mm-hmm. And there was a Big Surf mini game that I was never able to reach.
Yeah.
Everyone talked about it. I could not find the Surf mini game.
Oh, where was that? Was that a Cerulean? I don't even remember where that was.
Yeah.
Was that a Cerulean City?
I don't know, Matt. Remember how I said I didn't get to play?
Oh, I'm just rubbing it in.
You're like, oh, man, no, that was a real
fun.
That
was so fun.
That was such a fun minigame. I remember playing it like 900 hours.
You didn't get there?
Yeah, no, I did not, unfortunately.
Can you describe like starter Pokemon?
Yeah.
And then how they level up?
So every game there's three starter Pokemon. The standard is fire, grass, and water. For every generation of Pokemon, there are different types. You know, there's literally a new generation of Pokemon. In the original, we have Charmander, Squirtle, and Bulbasaur. And those evolve, as you train them, you get to a certain level, and they gain XP, and you can kind of like focus that XP if you want to, like, gain, you know, maybe you want this one to be like have higher speed. Like, it's called EV training, which we probably skip that because that's very deep.
But. Yeah, that's super deep. But we can essentially, just if you're curious, EV training is basically essentially hunting for specific Pokemon with like these hidden stats.
Yeah.
And you have to, and there's like certain like qualifiers you have to do to train each of those stats.
Yeah.
It's very, very deep in the game.
Yeah.
And yeah, I remember it was explained to me and it was explained how to do it. And I was like, yeah, I ain't doing all that.
Yeah. So with your starter, you choose one and you get to name it, you know, name it your best friend or just leave it as, you know, or you can name it something funny. So it's every time you're throwing it out, it says something funny. But you, as you go on your journey, you battle a wild Pokemon that you encounter and you battle trainers and they gain experience. And when they get at a certain amount of experience, they level up. And when they get to certain levels, they evolve into their next form. Traditionally, there are two other forms that they evolve to. So usually it's like level starters. Usually I think it's 18. They evolve into the next form. So like Charmander will evolve to Charmeleon, and then I believe it's 32. They evolve to Charizard. But you can hold off on that if you want. If you hold the B button when they're about to evolve,
okay.
Because if they actually learn moves a little faster and gain a little more XP, if they stay in like that form longer. So like it might be a strategy to hold the B button and
yeah.
and like level up and learn some more moves before you evolve. But
let us not forget in Pokemon Yellow, if you evolved your Pikachu, it can no longer follow you. And I had so many friends hurt. And I was like, well, you should have guessed it. It's a Pikachu walking around.
I'm on Bulbapedia, which is Pikachu's Pokemon's Wikipedia.
Long-standing, too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And it says, Pikachu is a short, chubby rodent Pokemon. It has a small mouth. I love how descriptive they are with this. Yeah, one thing to note is that Ash's Pikachu stays outside of his Pokeball.
Yeah. That's probably why it's so fit, because all normal Pikachus are really, really cute and like chubby, you know?
Yeah.
So cute. I'm just looking at it and my little girl self is like, knows why I didn't take it out of its box.
Yeah.
We have to take a really quick break and then we're going to hop back into Pokemon right after this. And we're back. Matt, what are some of your favorite Pokemon?
Oh, man. Okay. This is a great question. I think it's just a lot about people's personalities, you know, but for me, my favorite Pokemon, I have a few, I have a lot actually, but my all-time favorite, I'll start there. My all-time favorite is this giant sleeping Pokemon named Snorlax.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And in when you encounter it in the game, it's literally a roadblock in the game where you need to wake it up with an item you collect from the Lavender Town Cemetery. Cemetery Tower,
oh, yeah.
Called a Poke Flute. And then you need to play the Poke Flute to wake it up. And it's this cute, just like, I don't really know how to describe, like a bear. Like
yeah,
a,
like a panda bear. Looking
like
thing.
Like a half panda looking giant, like green and white bear.
It's like Totoro.
Yeah. It's completely green and its stomach is white.
I love it because he just wants to sleep and like just let him sleep, you know? And yeah. I totally get it. I feel like I relate to him so much.
Yeah, yeah. And he regains health while he sleeps. So that was a real cool thing.
And he has the psychology effect where he yawns and makes other people sleepy.
Yeah.
So.
You want to know one of my favorites?
I would love to, yes.
Tickalipop,
Tickalipop.
Now you gotta chime in, Iffy, with yours.
Oh man, the all-time favorite is always gonna be Toxicroak, baby.
Nice.
Toxicroak is top-tier Pokemon. Poisonous, has mm-hmm. blades on his hand, looks brolic, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely looking. But you know, who's that like buff cloud dude? He's like a legendary now, right? I'm talking about Thundurus.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
Wow.
No, Iffy, this brought up some bad freaking deviant art for me. This is, he said buff. I've typed in buff Pokemon. Who am I? And it's like a thick-ass Pikachu and a Speedo. Who is he with?
Boy, oh, that was great. I'm so glad I had you search that just for that reason.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, this is rough.
Oh, baby.
That's amazing. That's got to be, that's one of the best pictures I've ever
seen.
He has
like a 12 pack.
Oh, man. It was, yeah. I wish you could just have seen what Danny was forced to see. It was like, it's not going to be in the footnotes. I'll let you know that right now. But it's too.
Oh no! I've stumbled on something bad.
Oh yeah, no, you're walking a path when you look up those pictures.
Oh no!
Definitely walking a path.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways.
But yeah.
I don't feel good.
Yeah, no.
Okay,
it never
I can't look away.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I have seen the Magikarp. You that one?
Oh yeah,
I saw the dude where like they just wear the little fish head and it's like they're super buff. I've seen that cosplay.
Yeah, yeah, that's a character in the game. It's is it like a Magikarp fan?
It's a fan, and you can find him, and he's just so weird. He literally wears like a Magikarp like mask thing with big old eyes, and he's shirtless and buff, and you can fight him.
Yeah, that was one of the most fun. That's also like we talked about being excited about seeing the different Pokemon, but the different trainers you encounter are super fun too.
Yeah, yeah, and the different gyms, you know.
Yeah.
What I love about the gyms is that they're, for those of you who don't know, I don't think we mentioned this, but like while you're on this journey, you're trying to collect, you're trying to be the Pokemon champion in this region. So in every game, there's a different region. So,
which is why there are different Pokemon.
Right, exactly. So the first game, you're in the Kanto region. And in this region, you're in all of them, you're trying to get to the Pokemon League. And in order to, which is this top four elite, this elite four, if you will, literally called the elite four, of trainers in this region. And you have to battle in order to become the Pokemon champion. To get there, you need to go through different towns and fight, go into gyms that are specific type gyms, like a rock gym or a water gym, etc. And you have to fight the gym leader there. And if you beat them, they give you a badge, that depicts that shown that you have defeated that gym leader and you're worthy to move on to the next gym.
Yeah. And also every gym has a singular Pokemon type,
yeah,
which is very important and interesting because you can scuff your run if you pick a Pokemon as your starter who is weak to the first gym. For example, I think the first gym was Brock, which is Rock. And it's weak against Leaf, so if you picked Bulbasaur, you're going to serve that person up.
Yep.
But it's strong and water, so Squirtle, you're good.
Yeah.
But it's strong against fire, so you're going to have a tougher time when you rock with the Charmander.
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. So it's, and especially in the early game, it's like, what do I do?
Oh, yeah.
What do I do?
What have you done to me, Pokemon?
But there's some really great trainers out there, man.
Yeah.
The gym leaders, too, are so cool. Like, Lance, he's so cool, man.
You keep coming back to Lance.
He's got a cape, you know.
He's cute.
He's great.
Yeah, Lance was like one of the cooler designs. I'm excited about all the new designs too.
And the new Pokemon, the region is called the Galar region, and it's essentially the UK. It's like the region's similar. It represents like the UK basically. Mm-hmm. So it's all like it's like stone and like, or not stone, but like brick and there's giant windmills, and it's like it's like the countryside of the UK. It's really cute. But the leaders in this new game, Sword and Shield, which is the new Pokemon game coming out in November for the Switch, the gyms are giant like football sized stadiums.
Yeah,
and it's like an event. It's like it's the first time I feel like it's actually like a big deal. It's like
I feel like that's kind of just finally taking the note from the anime, because I feel like in the anime, the gyms were such a big ordeal, and in the games, like it was cool. Like usually every gym starts off with a puzzle you have to figure out before you get to the gym leader. So if you solve the puzzle, most times you fight less trainers. But me, I was like, no, I'm going to just fight all of y'all so
me
I can
too.
Make sure I'm like high enough level.
You get more XP for fighting trainers than wild Pokemon, y'all. So.
Yeah. So you got to beat them up.
Yeah, but I just love in this new one, like you were seeing some really cool guys. Like there's this guy who looks like Mirio, basically, or like Archie. Like, but he has like a Canadian Ranger hat and stuff, and he looks really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, we can talk, and this will kind of help us speed along the games but really the one other thing we're missing from Pokemon that is across the game is there's usually a legendary. And in the first Red and Blue and Yellow, it was the three birds, Zapdos, Moltres, and Articuno.
That's right.
And no matter which game you had, you were able to get all three, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that's correct.
And then after Blue and you had Yellow, which was just Red and Blue, but you had Pikachu on your side. I'm trying to see what the next run was.
Oh, Silver and Gold?
Silver and Gold.
Which had Ho-Ho and Lugia.
And that was the first time they split, because if you had silver, you can catch Lugia.
Yes.
If you had gold, you can catch Ho-Oh. And that was a big deal, because now it's like, you, when you choose a game, you're choosing, like, I know for a fact I'm going with sword because I want a dog with a sword in his mouth.
That's literally the legendary. It's, it's a giant dog with his huge sword in his mouth.
Yeah. Just huge Okami vibes, you know? So like, that's kind of been the real deciding factor going forward after Red and Blue, to which game you go with.
Yeah, I like Ho-Oh a lot. If you guys have ever seen the first episode of the show, Ho-Oh is the mysterious golden bird-like Pokemon that Ash sees with Pikachu after he saves Pikachu from a swarm of, like, bee drills. And he sees it fly over him, and it's like the first sign that, you know, like, it's such a rare sight. And that you could catch that Pokemon in the second game. That's a legendary. In gold. Man, what a great
show. So one big thing that little Danny remembers was Pokemon the first movie.
Yes.
So it's had many movies, but I remember the first movie, which came out in 1998. It actually was released in Japan July 18th of 1998. And then I think we got it in 19... Oh, yeah, it was released May. For us... actually, November 10th, 1999.
Oh, it was in November, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was really interesting. So in Japan, it was Mewtwo. Wow. Read that too quickly. Mewtwo Strikes Back, which was positive in Japan, but for some reason for us, it says that it got largely negative reviews, which little Danny does not remember at all.
Yeah,
these are adults. Yeah. These are adults writing this who don't enjoy fun, but it was. Apparently, film critics had a lot of criticism pointed at the anti-violence message in the film about Pokemon. That's hilarious that Americans would be like, it talks too much about anti-violence. We don't like that. We love violence.
Yeah.
And it ended up grossing $172 million worldwide at the box office and sold 10 million home video units in the United States. That's not actually very much at all. That's probably because kids were streaming.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm trying to think of what I was using at that time.
Was it
LimeWire.
There was another one before LimeWire, too, that I can't remember.
Listen, I checked it out from Blockbuster. Yeah. But, yeah, so we had Pokemon the first movie. Did you watch all of the anime?
Like I watched most of it, actually. Mm-hmm. I watched all the way up through, I want to say, when Mei came in, so that would be, it's not Johto, no, it was Johto. So, like, through Johto, I watched, like, a lot of it, man.
Yeah.
And, like, well, I watched those movies, too, and those movies were so cool, because, look, Ash Ketchum might be the GOAT, because you might say he's a bad trainer, but this guy, I think he's an amazing trainer, and he stops, like, world-ending, like, apocalypse-ending stuff. You know, he's a savior. And do you remember in the first movie, all these movies, you would get a card, an exclusive Pokemon card.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember the first, was it the first one or second one that had the Ancient Mew card? But one of them, you got an Ancient Mew card, and it was so cool. I was so excited to get that Ancient Mew card. And it looked like all like hieroglyphic and stuff like that, and it was awesome.
Well, what's fun? I mean, Ash, people might say he's a bad trainer. Ash is us. You just need to accept it. Like, this is how we would be if we were put into a world where there's literal monsters that you can capture.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
and
you're
not
always
going
to know what to do. And you'll probably make best friends with one that you're supposed to be using, but instead you have him out like a pet dog all the time.
I think Ash kind of, what I love about Ash Ketchum, first off, he's 10 years old, y'all. So I don't know how time works in this universe, but he's 10 years old.
Yeah,
he's gone through multiple Pokemon leagues. And he's won the Alolan, it's not a Pokemon league, but it's like their tournament in Alola, which is the Sun and Moon series. And he's like made it to the finals multiple times. So he's a very good trainer. But what I love about Ash is that he teaches us that, you know, there's more to Pokemon than just fighting, and that, you know, it's about the bond, and and he teaches us how like, he sees his friend. Ah, God, I love this show. He sees his friends that friend needs to go in order to grow, and he's okay being like, it's okay, you go, you grow, you do what you have to do. And like, the Pokemon remember that. They even come back, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He lets Butterfree go.
Yeah, that was his first one that he let go. And you know, you're talking about it in a way opposite of most people I know. Everyone was like, he's an idiot.
That's true. People did say that. They give him a lot of flack for that.
Oh, yeah.
But even his Charizard, like, his Charizard was, like, got really cocky. His Charizard...
Well, that's, The Charizard was fun because it really was the show implementing a game mechanic, and it's a good opportunity to talk about something that we missed. Because as you noticed, the link cable, we talked about it, you can trade Pokemon. So you might be asking, well, why don't you got a friend who can just trade you all the best Pokemon? And it's because your Pokemon also, for some reason, respects the authority of the gyms. And so your Pokemon will only pay attention to you up to a certain level based on the badges you have.
Yeah.
And there is a added thing, because you might be like, okay, well, maybe a few levels higher. Traded Pokemon level up way faster than normally caught Pokemon. So you are also racing against the caught Pokemon speed. So anyway, in the anime, Charizard wasn't listening to Ash because he wasn't a high enough badge level.
It exactly. And he let Charizard go. He let Charizard go. And then
dumb move number two.
But it wasn't because Charizard got to grow. And then Charizard
gets what? That was his last evolution, Matt.
Well, he got to experience. He got to like find his own journey. He got to find.
Yeah, he didn't have to be encapsulated like in a zoo. You know, maybe it was a social commentary.
Yeah. Well, I'm still catching them all in this world. We gotta catch them.
But Charizard comes back. In the show, Charizard comes back to Ash, and they kick butt together.
Yeah.
They rock it.
Yeah, they came back during the Elite Four, right? If I remember correctly. Yeah.
No, I was laughing because – sorry, I was laughing because I while we're talking about Pikachu, I just wanted to sum up some of the things that he's accomplished. But one of them, he was – no, I mean, he was listed – I saw that he was listed number 8 on IGN's top 25 anime characters of all time. I'm like, number 8? Who's number 1?
Okay.
Who in the heck do you think is number 1, Iffy?
It better be Goku.
That's why he left him out.
Yes.
You're around here talking. Oh. You're on here talking about how Ash is dumb, and they listed one of the most naive characters of all time,
you know,
who we love because he has a big heart like Ash Ketchum.
Yeah. But it's one thing to be dumb and strong, and to be dumb and your kid throwing away Pokemon.
But Goku, at least, like he's like what I love about Goku is that he never. You know, he doesn't change who he is. You know, he's an immigrant, and he doesn't change to adapt. He's like who he is. Like, this is me. We deal with it. I love that, you know?
I know, yeah. But also, that if I was Goku, I'd only let my Nigerian friends call me Iffy Shikude. Everyone else has to call me Iffy.
Just touching on some more things from Pikachu. He's appeared in The Simpsons many times.
Yeah.
He's also a Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade balloon since 2001. Also, in Topeka, Kansas, the mayor renamed the town to Pikachu for a day. That's adorable. He is known as Japan's answer to Mickey Mouse.
As iconic as he is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then in 2003, Forbes ranked Pikachu as the 8th top-earning fictional character of the year. He was also named by Time Magazine in 1999 the 2nd best person of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he's got a movie.
And now he has a movie. I don't know if we want to hop in. Do we want to hop into that?
We can hop into that, I guess. Okay. Right after these messages.
We're back. We're back. We're talking about Pokemon. Before we hop into the movie, though, because this kind of led up to the movie, we have to talk about the phenomenon that was Pokemon Go.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
It was kind of cool because it's like so many people, even people that don't normally play games, got into it.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool.
It came out the week of my birthday, and I remember I was working at a post house as a PA, and my friend was an editor there, and like that day was kind of rough for us. And then towards the end of the night, he was like, you want to go play Pokemon Go at the Santa Monica Pier? And I'm like, yes. And we went. It was like the first week. We went to the Santa Monica Pier. We had our phones out. And the pier was nuts. But it wasn't just nuts. It was nuts with everyone on their phones playing Pokemon Go. And I'll never forget, a War Turtle showed up. And everyone was like, War Turtle! And everyone ran over to the end of the roller coaster where the War Turtle was. And it was like, world peace for like a minute. It was so great.
Yeah, no, it was so good. I remember it came out like right before Comic-Con. So I remember playing on it at Comic-Con Yeah, July 2016. And so, like, there were things that were popping up at Comic-Con that were so cool. But I just, one, it was funny that it tricked people into exercising. And I found that hilarious. Yeah. I walked 9 miles today? Wow. But also just, it was such a community. It was so cute to see, like, moms and teens and people, like, running around together and, going in groups and stuff. And it also spurred, I'm in a Pokemon Go Facebook group, it would be like people would be like, oh, there's one here, and people would, you know, for safety and whatever, would like walk together at night, would go all night trying to find them.
Niantic does a really good job of their community building, because even to this day, the Pokemon Go communities, it might be like it's quiet down a bit on like the macro, but if you look at the, you know, if you look at it on the inside, it's still really popular.
It's funny because one thing that was wild about Pokemon Go is, you know, as much as people want to be like, when are people going to sit back and enjoy the moment? You know, it was creating these moments for people to interact who would never interact. I remember when it first came out, I was at this gym and like I was standing in this place fighting, and then like some kids walked up, and then some and then like we didn't say anything for a bit, and then eventually we were like, y'all playing Pokemon Go, and then we just had this conversation, and it really were these kids who I probably never in my life would have interacted with, but we had this nice experience and went about our day.
That I had this like so many similar experiences like that. It literally brought us together, you know. And it was cool. It was like Pokemon in the real world, you know? Yeah. It was like, oh, you can turn on the AR stuff, and AR is augmented reality.
Oh, yeah.
And that means like when I'm looking at my phone, it'll use the real world picture, and then there'll be a Pokemon on my phone like in the real world. Yeah,
the argument of VR versus AR. VR is a immersive experience that kind of closes you off and puts you in a specific zone. AR uses the world around you to implement things. You know, We could do a whole episode. I have lots of thoughts on one versus the other, but I think they both can exist. I think one's going to be used more as a tool, and the other one will kind of just be entertainment. I'll let you guess which one and which.
But you can also check out our VR episode.
Oh, yeah, we did do a VR.
It was extremely educational.
71 episodes in.
We are.
What are we going to do for episode 100? I think we should do a Tree of Life live episode.
Well, guys.
Detective Pikachu.
Yeah. So,
do you remember when Ryan Reynolds was announced as the voice of Pikachu?
I did, and I was one of like the only people that actually played the video game, and I was like, "That's interesting." But it was a great move though, because it got a lot of people's attention.
Yeah.
It got like a lot of the people who don't know this game to pay attention to this.
As someone who didn't play, what was the video game about?
A similar premise to the movie.
Really?
The video game is about. It's more of a. Visual novel, kind of, but like with like a very minuscule puzzle, so it's not as, you know, strategic as Professor Layton, but it's like got that same kind of vibe where you're going around and interviewing people. But you're this character named Tim Goodman, whose father goes missing, named Henry Goodman. And Tim, all that Tim knows is that, you know, he sees this Pikachu, and this Pikachu can talk to him, and he can only talk to Tim. They don't know why. And they decide to work together to try and discover like what happened to his father. By doing so, they meet a couple friends in the game that work at this at GNN, which is the news network. And like they kind of work together to uncover not only the mystery of his father, but like also of this this drug called R that is making you find out that, you know, makes Pokemon go crazy. It's like a very jokery, like, oh, we're gonna put it in the balloons and it's gonna make the Pokemon go crazy. So you're working together to uncover the mysteries, but in the game there's a bunch of micro mysteries in it. So like each chapter is a different, like, ooh, like you know, who stole this, and like who or, you know, where's the missing Clefairy or whatever. And I really enjoy that aspect of it.
So is it similar to the movie in the sense that one, I mean, the movie's been out long enough for spoilers, but
yeah,
the spoiler has already been said, so you just got to answer. I was going to say spoiler alert, but we already said it. Here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
We're going to bleep the spoiler out, and then this isn't going to be a spoiler, but it's implied but not confirmed in the game.
Correct.
Okay.
You know, but there is that the creature, if you guys see it, it does show up, and in the game gives Pikachu an option to do something. You don't know what it was, and he stays a Pikachu. whatever that means.
Or, okay.
I guess it's still a spoiler.
Ryan Reynolds and Justice Smith.
Yeah.
Who you would know from The Get Down and Jurassic World.
It's funny because that's the second time that's happened that I'm loving movies using that, but I wonder when it's finally not going to work. But it's the mixed family fake out where they present to you a white person and the child is black, and so them being related is not on your mind, and then you find out they are, and then you're like, oh yeah, 100%, like in Homecoming, like, yeah. That's the whole Vulture for a second wasn't even on my mind being related to MJ at all, not at all, and then you see it and you're like, oh hey.
Yeah.
So that's a fun feature.
Yeah.
Who are some of the Pokemon that you like seeing in the movie?
See, there's so many. And what I love about this movie in particular is that people can leave that movie being like, that was my favorite Pokemon. Like each Pokemon had its own distinct personality and was like that. I feel like that was the obviously the push of it, but every single Pokemon like was so unique to an audience that may never see him before, you know? And I thought that was awesome. So for me, in the movie, my favorite Pokemon in the movie has got to be the Bulbasaurs because they are just so precious. And I've never, you know, you see them just like, you hear their little meow, you know, like their little like grunts, and they help Pikachu and you know, and Tim. And I think they did they're just so cute. They're so cute in that movie.
My favorite thing about listening you talk about Pokemon is that you talk about them as if they're your children. And you find it really cute. You're like, you know, they're adorable. You just see them I'm just so proud of them. They're getting so big and strong.
They're
and
just one day going off to grow up on their own.
And they're just going to forget me. They're going to leave me. You know?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the future of Pokemon is? I mean, ooh, you talked about the next game that's coming up.
Yeah.
Do you see? I mean, this movie did, was $431 million worldwide, the 10th highest grossing film of 2019, second highest grossing video game film adaptation of all time.
Yeah. That's a great question. And because, like, I feel like Pokemon's been, I mean, it's always been so strong. And I think the future of it, the movie was it's a huge bookmark in Pokemon history, because that, I think what's going to happen is that is like the taste of here's the world, and they put it in the city. The setting is Rhyme City, which is a city where Pokemon are out of their Pokeballs and they don't battle. Battling is illegal in Rhyme City. I think that was a nice way to introduce to everyone what exactly Pokemon are and what does that mean in this world. And then out of this, we'll actually get a more traditional Pokemon movie, I think.
I need to tell y'all something that I just found. Little Danny was not wrong. Little Danny was not wrong for putting all of her cards in her little collecting sleeves, because mint condition set of Pokemon cards sells for over $100,000.
Whoa!
Well, do you still have it?
No.
Yeah, maybe
my mom.
Somewhere.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. That's a lot. I have to go through. I mean, I'd have to go. My mom has like a storage unit where I'd have to essentially like go through, relive the trauma of my parents' divorce to like, but you know, is it worth $100,000? Maybe I'll just go back in there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have them, to be honest. I feel like it was something that I would have given, like sold when I was needing money in high school or something.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
I hope you find them. Hopefully those pop up when you need it most, you know?
Well, yeah. And a good friend of ours
has.
When
you need them most,
when I need them.
In a corner.
Hang on. I'm just going to write the next
Danny needs
script.
The cards all run out.
No.
There's so many Pokemon to touch on. And we didn't. When I was a nanny, I bought one of the kids that I nannied for. I bought him. This was back in, let's see, like it would have been 2005. So there's even newer Pokemon since then. But I got him one of those like posters that's like all of the Pokemon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's and they had, sweet.
It was massive. And he just like framed it in his room. There's too many.
I think, especially with the new game, I think before the new game was like, what, 743 Pokemon? And now with the new game, it'll be even more. So yeah. Like in the 800s, you know?
Maybe I just gave him the starter one. So probably that was the
151.
Picture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let us know what your favorite Pokemon is. Yeah. We clearly can't touch on all 900 of them.
Yeah, there are too many Pokemon to touch on. So let us know your favorites and we'll judge you based on that.
Yeah.
I do have to say my favorite is always the video of the Pikachus in their costume dancing.
They're so great. Mm-hmm. They're so funny. Yeah. I love it.
And, oh, my mom was really excited because she got a picture with Pikachu at SDCC.
Oh, yeah.
I brought her
oh,
for nice. The first time. Well, it's not her
was
first
it that
time.
Was Midsummer Pikachu that was running around?
Yeah.
There was a Midsummer Pikachu.
No, that wasn't it, but that is wild.
Yeah.
That's funny.
What, you, wait, you mean, wait, what are you talking about?
I'll show you a picture.
Okay. Matt, where can everyone find you?
Guys, you can find me at The Matt Acevedo on everything. That's it now. Yeah, The Matt Acevedo. And can I plug?
Of course.
Oh, sweet. We have a show where we talk about like all characters, including Pikachu and Ash, on the Ultimate Fictional Character Podcast, where we, you know, pull four characters from a bucket of from everything, manga, commercials, TV, movies, and it's not a strength battle. It's more of like a discussion on who that's awesome on who we think is the best character, what makes them great. It's more of a celebration of them, and we like it's like bracket style, elimination style, and we already have a winner for season one, so
ooh.
Yeah, check it out. You Ultimate Fictional Character Podcast. It's fun.
All right, and you know me, Ify Wadiway on Twitter and Instagram, IFYNWADIWE. If D's on Twitch, come through. And it's been a busy all July, I could feel it. The subs dropped. Some of y'all forgot that I'd be streaming. Come in there, bring those Prime subs. Look, if you got an Amazon Prime account, you already have a Twitch Prime account. Join Twitch, connect your Amazon account, come to my page, smash that sub button, and you have to come back every month. Don't forget, I'll keep reminding you. You know I love you.
I'm at Ms. Dani Fernandez, MSDANIFERNANDEZ. Thanks to everyone, again, that's been buying merch and giving it to your loved ones. We love seeing you in it. Shout out to Aiden getting Ziggy 5 for getting a tattoo of Nerdificent. Got
that's
a Nerdificent
awesome.
Tattoo. It is wild. We appreciate it so much. And I shared it on my page. I couldn't find you, though, on Instagram. So, Aiden, if you want me to share it again, let me know what your Instagram handle is. And as always, as we say, stay nerdy.
Stay nerdy.
Stay nerdy. Stay nerdy.